I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Doodly doo, just flying along, cause I'm a superhero who likes to sing songs. Da 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 da. What? A woman in trouble?
Have no fear, miss! I'm on my way! Fiend, hands off her! And I will stop you by the power of rolling in the gig! Hear this!
Hello, I'm Ken Brown, and as the Game Master for Riven, the Shattered Continent, I welcome you to our table. Team, please introduce yourselves.
Who do you? Hello, there. My name is Marcos Pissarro. I'm an Alacocra monk from the Sanctuary of Okaido. I am the Ringer of Alarm Bells and the Protector of Young Cassie, and I am portrayed by Nick Simpson.
And I am Trevor Ironjaw, Forge Cleric, infused with the power of a being of flame to become an instrument of justice for the people. Portrayed by Brad Conow.
Thank you, gentlemen, and thank you for joining us. Welcome back to Riven, and get ready for Rolling in the Geek. Hey, it's Ken, your Game Master here, and on behalf of the Rick Geek family, we beseech thee, if we are pleasing to thine ear holes, please check out Rolling in the Geek on Patreon, and please rate or review us on Apple Podcasts or whichever listening platform you favor. It helps get more people at our table, and we can never have too many cooks in our kitchen. Now, back to three guys screaming at numbered shapes for not helping them enough. Last time on Rolling in the Geek. Harkos and Trevor catch up to each other and chase the Lathandarian priest into the mine. I think I've made that word up, but I'm super okay with it. They follow footsteps through various tunnels and eventually stop when they hear strange crunching noises. They slow their pace down and continue forward to find three gnolls munching on femurs and various other bones. Trevor, despite Harkos' protests, tries to befriend the closest one. He pets it and scratches it into being his friend, and the other two start to investigate what's going on. They bark and talk back and forth until eventually Trevor tries to intimidate them into backing down, which has an opposite effect, thanks to Newton's laws. The fight goes quickly, with the gnolls being outnumbered after the one goes turncloak, and after a quick snack, the team continues down the passageways. You're welcome for that one. Eventually, they get to a barred door, with the priest hacking up a lung like a 60-year-long smoker. Trevor bursts the door down, and they walk into a gruesome sight. The priest hacks up a sack, which is gross, but is worse when it starts moving, and a white dragon wormling emerges and squares up to the team. And that is where we pick back up. So it is the two of you and your new gnoll friend. The priest is passed out close by where this dragon now is. And then you have it's about the size of like a small horse, is what this really kind of ends up being.
Wow. That's a hell of a puke.
It puked it up and it was smaller and it grew very quickly into this size. He was just EB little guy when he puked it up. But it was enough to like the guy had, he looked like a snake eating, you know, like an egg. And then, once it kind of burst out, then it started gaining some mass very quickly. But it seems to have kind of stalled on that after it kind of noticed you and turned. So what do you do?
I'm gonna pet it.
Yeah, I was gonna say wait for Trevor to fucking be an idiot.
No, I'm not gonna pet it.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Well, now I have to pet it. Thanks, Ken.
Oh, Jesus. I was nice with the gnoll. I'm not gonna be nice on this. Alright, so what do you guys do?
Ready up.
Yeah, as it does not appear to be wanting to deal with any of your collective shit right now.
Yeah, we're gonna... fuck it, I'll initiate. I'm gonna attack it.
Okay. Go ahead and roll for initiative. I'm not gonna give you a surprise because he was ready for you. Or she, you don't know.
19.
Oh, boy.
7. You had a 7?
I had a 7, yes.
Okay. And it has... Okay. And then... Okay. Trevor, you have first initiative, which is kind of fitting since you were the one who initiated.
Charge!
Okay.
And I'm going to Booming Blade this.
Okay.
Ah, man, 16.
Okay, that matches.
All right.
So,
that's my d10. 6 points of damage.
6.
And then if he moves, he takes 1d8 thunder damage.
All right, so it is the white dragon's turn. Is the wormling's turn. So he is going to have you guys perform a constitution saving throw.
Oh. 16.
Oh boy.
Okay.
10.
Okay. Harkos makes it, Trevor does not.
Woo.
What? That's too many dice.
All right. So Trevor, you take 18 points of cold damage.
Oh my god.
Harkos, you will take 9. As it freezes out this mist of freezing cold air at you.
I'm down.
Oh, and you know what? I did not roll for your friend either. Okay. Your friend does not make it either.
No!
And he instantly looks very not good. So that makes it his turn. He's going to howl in a rage and go after this dragon. Oh, shit. That motherfucker just crit.
Nice! That's a good dog.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
That's a good dog. Who's a good puppy? Who's a good puppy? I know I'm passed out, but this is from... I'm mumbling it in my sleep.
Okay. He does a solid 8 damage with his chompers. And Harkos, that takes it to your turn.
Okay. So, I mean, it was... So, essentially... No, never mind. I changed my mind. I'm gonna fucking attack. I don't want to say the thing I was gonna say. I altered my course.
Okay.
So, we're gonna go for a Harkos special.
Okay.
Ooh, fucking nice Harkos. That is a 22 to hit.
Yep, that definitely hits.
And then... It is 8 piercing damage from the spear, and okay. Then I am going to do my unarmed strike, but I'm going to burn a key point and do flurry of blows so I can do 2 of them.
Yep, that's, now's the time.
Yeah. What makes you say that, kid? It's because we're fighting a fucking dragon, maybe? Is that the reason that you're saying these things?
You know, maybe. Little dragon.
Okay, that one's a 22 again. And then
still hits.
That one is a 21. So
yep.
Getting the big numbers this time around. All right. So get my D4s. Nice. Okay. So 15 more points of piercing damage.
All total?
Total, yeah, cuz I got okay. A 4 and a 3 plus 4 to each. 7 and 8.
Damn! Wow. Okay, it is definitely hurting.
Good. So, my initial thought, because like Trevor went down, was I was going to, since talking is a free action, like try and ward off the gnoll. I'd be like, listen, clearly you should just leave and try and get the dragon to like just fuck off and leave me the fuck alone so I can drag Trevor's dying ass out of here. And I was going to like hold my action on the thought that like if the dragon doesn't leave the room, then I take my attack. But I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna punch it.
You did a fuck ton of damage, so
it was a good. It was a good choice. Right. Yeah, it was a good choice.
Okay, Trevor, we're in death save territory.
Oh yeah, that's a 13 on the die.
All right, that is one success.
Damn it!
Ah,
all right.
So, I didn't realize that was out loud. My apologies.
All right. So this is the scary moment that he's the dragon's turn, and it is going to roll to see if it gets its breath weapon back.
Nope.
That is a 1. It does not get its breath weapon back.
I influence it from the sleep zone.
No, Trevor, keep your fucking mouth shut, because knowing how our luck goes, you speaking is going to influence whatever you want in the opposite direction. So you stay in the sleep zone and let the dragon not kill me. If it wants to kill your little gnoll buddy, cool, fine, awesome.
Rude. He's been nice to you.
That's great. He can be nice to me by being a meat shield for this dragon. Technically, he's been nice to you just because he hasn't attacked me by proxy. He's done nothing nice for me.
All right, so dragon is going to...
Try to give me a nasty arm.
I'm rolling a d4. If it's a 1 or a 2, it is Harkos. If it is a 3 or a 4, it is the gnoll. It is the gnoll.
Oh, thank Christ.
That is a grand total of 6 to hit. That does not hit.
See, he's fine, Brad. I don't know what you're...
the dragon will charge forward and try to take a sweep of he bites. So he tries to take a nom out of your nami friend and completely misses. He's still a little bit slippery from the after vomit. That makes it the gnoll, and the gnoll is going to try to howl again in rage and strike out at the poor little dragon. Which is a 21 to hit, and that will hit. It's a dirty 21, just so we're clear. Nothing? Okay. All right, he does...
Sorry, I was reading things for my next move. I laughed in my head, if that makes it any better. It doesn't. It hurts more.
All right, he does another 5 damage with his Nami bits. And that makes it Harkos' turn. He is looking very, very sad right now.
I'm coming in again with the spear.
Okay.
That is a natural 20.
Oh shit.
So that's gonna be 8 base. Is it total, or is it just the die and then roll and then addition? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the max,
it's the damage die. Then I roll the damage
die,
and then I add my whatever to it.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Cool. So
we have 2 different rule sets for 2 different games. So yeah. Our personal game is a little bit heightened. This is, or a lot of bit heightened. This is a little.
But
bit
that
heightened.
that's also by design, because Brad's trying to make us feel like super duper crazy people, so that we go bum rushing into situations that we shouldn't and die.
Yep.
With the spear doing a stabby boy, it is 15 points of damage piercing.
All right,
is it still up?
Kill the dragon.
Okay. So I know, so basically what I want to do is, it was coming at the gnoll to bite. Yeah. And since all this kind of happens at once, it comes at the gnoll to bite. The gnoll bites it as it went past, because the gnoll had its turn and did a chomp for 5 points. And mm-hmm. so in my head, the dragon still kind of has its mouth open a little bit, because it's just been gnashing on people, aside from the breath weapon attack.
And it's hissing and snapping and all kinds of stuff.
I want to drive the spear right down its mouth. Like, I know with it being smaller and stuff that I might just go right through the head, but I want to go through the open mouth with the spear and, like, pierce it to the floor.
Damn. And you drive it straight through, and it you pin it down to the ground, and you see it twitches and tries to get away, and then just slumps onto the spear. And then cracks.
I'm sorry, it does what?
And then cracks. And then you suddenly realize that it's made of stone. And it falls apart. And crumples into little dragon rock bits.
Oh, Jesus. Well,
Trevor, go ahead and make another death save.
12.
Okay, that's another success. We're gonna stay in initiative until we know that you're stabilized.
Okay.
So, it gets to the gnoll's turn, who comes over and gets down on his haunches and kind of pushes you a little bit.
I fail a death save.
He crits on you with the push. Oh god.
He too fast. Nudges you with your fucking nose, you go flying across the room.
Ragdoll effects and all.
Jeez.
So Harkos, it's your turn.
I'm gonna go do a medicine check on Trevor.
Okay. It's a DC 10 medicine check to stabilize.
I got a 14 on the die and then plus 2 to medicine, so...
Okay.
Got it.
Yeah, so you stabilize Trevor. And it's going to take him some time to recover. So unless you're wanting to drag his happy ass out.
No, I'm going to... I'm going to go... I want to go check on the priest as well. Is he still kicking? Or did he die?
Make a medicine check.
Okay. It's a 21.
Dude. He is alive, but barely.
Okay. So, what I want to do... So I want to scoop up all the dragon bits,
mm-hmm.
and I want to put it in what is this? I'm going to put it in my backpack. That's part of my explorer's pack. I was trying to make sure I had a pouch of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna put it in there. I'm gonna strap my spear to my back. I would like to attempt. It's gonna be a lot. Sorry, Trevor. This is how things are gonna go. I'm gonna tie a rope around. Well, shit. How big's a gnoll?
They're humanish size.
So, I'm gonna walk over.
He is looking at you expectantly. Like,
yeah. So I had a bad idea, but asking about the gnoll has made it a better idea. So, because what I was going to do was take some of the rope out of my explorer's back and tie it to Trevor and drag him out of here. Not to be a dick, just because I was going to do other things. So I'm going to go over to the gnoll, and I'm going to be like, "All right, I'm going to need your help," and I'm going to go like hoist Trevor, and I'm going to turn back around to the gnoll, and say, "I will need you to carry him up the mountain, Mr. Noel Rowe. Noel Doe. Fro. Anyway. It was a sad attempt, I apologize. Sorry, any Tolkienites out there. And I'm going to very slowly put Trevor on there so as not to die if this thing thinks I'm doing weird stuff.
So if
Trevor wakes up, he's going to sit up into a riding position, essentially. Because like this gnoll's been walking around like a dog, yeah, or has been walking around like a human.
He's bipedal.
Oh, then I'm just going to tell him to carry Trevor. I didn't realize that he was making all these dog noises. I thought he was walking around on dogs.
No, he's bipedal.
So I'm going to pick Trevor up and carry over. But can you hold this, please? And just kind of hold Trevor out to him.
He looks at Trevor, and then he looks at you, and he looks at Trevor. And he just kind of like grabs him by the arm, and tries to pull.
Oh God, Trevor. how hard,
like,
is
not,
he pulling?
Not like not like he's like he's just trying to like drag him. He doesn't get the carry thing. He does not understand the concept of carry.
So I'm gonna pull Trevor away a little bit. I'm gonna set him back on the ground, and then I'm gonna look at the gnoll, and I'm gonna hold out one of my arms in a carrying position, and wait until he does the same. And if he doesn't, I will tell you what I do next.
It takes him a second to figure out what you're doing, but then he does the same thing with his arm.
And then I'm going to put the other one out in a carrying position, parallel to the first arm.
Okay, he does it.
And then I'm going to grab Trevor, and I'm going to gently place him in the gnoll's arms, hoping that there is strength in them, holding them there, and he's not just holding them out, and I put Trevor there and just like, whoops, to the floor.
You turn around, and he is doing the rest of the steps to the Macarena.
He's... Oh, Jesus.
No, he still has his arms out.
So, I fucking hate you. I go to and I attempt to place Trevor in his arms.
All right, he gets what you're doing now, and so he holds him.
Okay, give me just a moment. I'm gonna go pick up the priest.
Okay, the priest at this point the priest is kind of gone. He's very thin and stuff, so he does not take much to carry.
Okay. So, and then...
As you're doing that, why don't you go ahead and roll me a perception check?
How about you don't? 19.
All right. The mark on his chest is gone.
Huh. No, what's it? Sorry.
The carvings?
Sorry. Huh. There. Now it's in character.
Mm-hmm.
That's better. This is definitely something that I will be asking Puffles questions about. And then I'm going to go get up next to the gnoll and I'll be like, from beneath the priest, I'm going to try and point. I'm going to lift my arms as high as I can. But you follow me. And I'm going to start my ascent.
Okay. So he doesn't move until you start moving, and then he kind of falls in the line behind you.
Okay.
Like, awkwardly close.
Yeah. I mean, it is Trevor's pet, so it makes sense that he picked something up.
Okay. Because you're having to go a little bit slower because you're carrying people, and you do not walk near as fast as you fly, and when you're carrying somebody, it's even slower. Mm-hmm. So... I would say you get about halfway back, and that's when Trevor kind of starts to stir.
Yeah.
Oh. Like just stir, or am I waking
like
up?
Like you start coming too.
Ouch.
Yeah.
You two are still alive. This is good news.
Yes, unlike you, it would appear that your friend and I were able to keep our cool back there.
I also kept it a little too hard.
The gnoll chuckles.
Okay.
Ha ha! Ha ha!
Don't worry, I dealt with it with the slight aid from your pet and... We're going back up now.
Tickle boy. Tickle boy. Tickle boy.
You're being carried by him, Trevor.
I'm so scratching him behind the ears while I'm being carried.
He kicks his back leg and drops you because it trips.
Aw.
And there goes your 1 HP. Good night, Trevor.
All right, start rolling death saves.
I'm not medicine checking you again. Bye. Hope the gnoll has a good medicine check.
Yes. Nope.
Yeah.
No, honestly, it could be worse. He has a +0 to wisdom, so at least he's not a negative.
That's fair.
Don't try to make him do an arcana check, though, because that's going to be shit.
Oh, I was planning on asking him why the markings disappeared.
Considering his only language is gnoll, I don't think he's going to be much help.
I took that as an elective. The monks teach you all kinds of things.
Apparently.
They do not teach you how to skewer dragons, though, because that shouldn't be a thing you have to do.
It depends on how hard you adventure.
Oh, and we adventure hard.
Yeah, over the course of a few days. Isn't that right, Trevor?
That's right.
Not in a matter of 48 fucking hours.
Are we going to get back into this? Please, God, no. Okay, so Trevor, you are back at 1 HP as you kind of get a short rest.
Sweet.
Out of this. But it takes you some time. Are you going to kind of walk for yourself, or are you going to...
Yeah, I'll walk along.
Okay. So you Takes you a little bit, but you eventually do get back towards that main hub at the exit of the cave. And what are you going to do from here? Because you do have a big monster with you.
That's a Trevor question. I was going to figure that out if Trevor was still asleep. I was hoping that that would help explain it. Be like, nope, he's cool, it's fine. Like, see, he's not killing Trevor, so it's okay. But Trevor's solid and can walk out on his own, so I'm solid ditching this thing in the fucking mines. But it's Trevor's problem.
I'm going to walk out with it.
Of course you are.
Dear Lord. Okay. You walk out with the big monster.
The big monster!
My favorite part of Ragnarok is when he goes and punches that big fucking dude. For once in your life, don't smash!
But big monster!
Okay, anyway, yeah. that was a random sidetrack.
Walking out of the cave, like, scratching him behind the ear type thing.
As soon as you walk out of the cave, people scream and run away that are kind of that are all huddled around the exit. And the guards that are the two guards that you didn't recognize, they pull their weapons.
I'm going to step between the knoll and them.
A big monster!
Sir, what are you doing? What is that beast?
This beast aided us in the mines. I'll scratch him behind the ear again.
He looks scared.
It's true.
Are we just going to willfully allow monsters into this town? We just fought them back.
Yes.
Well, not this one in particular, but other things.
With the aid of Trevor and myself. So, if Trevor, the one who is dealing with the monsters, would like to be held responsible for whatever that thing does, I'm sure he can handle it. And if he can't, you could attempt to handle him.
I agree. I will accept any responsibility.
The two guards kind of look at each other, and the one guard on the right, he points at the other guard, the one that got bowled over, and tells her to go and fetch Jorik. This is above their pay grade.
Well, why don't we just take him to Jorik rather than making him walk all this way?
That's up to you, but I don't feel right about letting a monstrosity into this town.
Well, we just kicked out a bunch of monstrosities out of the town, so considering that this one actually aided us, I think it's doing better than the last few we've dealt with.
Is that a jab against Elian and Ansagar?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
And the town guard that didn't want to
yeah,
not be loyal to Elian.
Hey, but he'll let you go, but somebody's going to get Jorik.
Yeah, so. And we'll head that direction too. I'm fine with it.
Okay, so you get about halfway there, and then Jorik comes running up. And gets up next to you and goes, holy shit, what is that?
I do not know, but...
That's Trevor's new pet.
It aided us in the mine.
Don't worry, it only eats bones.
But...
I'm made of bones! Yes, I tried to have this argument in the mines with Trevor myself. It doesn't go anywhere.
But... We're all made of bones.
He's not wrong. It was helpful. I mean, it killed some of its own to protect us, so...
Like, was it helpful on its own? Or did you have to do some bullshit and, you know,
like...
It was definitely the bullshit one.
All I did was scratch it behind the ears, like any other dog.
That's a monster, not a dog.
I will accept full responsibility for it.
This is a little unconventional, guys. I'm just letting you know.
I think most of what has happened here has been a little unconventional.
Okay. It looks like you got the priest back as well. Is he alive?
Just. I was hoping maybe you could help with that.
Well, I have gotten some sleep, so yeah. Let's bring him into the barracks. I'll take care of him.
Thank you.
Hey, so he leads you back into the infirmary at the barracks and tells you to put the priest up on the table, and asks for your assistance in strapping him down to make sure that he doesn't go anywhere again. Just again. In case.
More than happy to help.
Okay, so you get them all strapped in. It takes a couple of minutes, but you get them nice and bondaged. Then he goes over and does the, like, rubs his hands together, and they get a little bit of a gold glow, and then he puts his hands on the priest, and you see that gold energy kind of flow into the priest, and some of his outer wounds heal up a little bit.
Become inner wounds?
You see his... Huh?
Some of his outer wounds become inner wounds.
Yes. Yeah, so this is true. You see his breathing kind of becomes a little bit more regular. See, Jorik is kind of checking him over to see if there's anything... At this point, there's not a whole lot of, like... He's not... I mean, he's kind of bruised and cut and whatnot, but he doesn't look like he's... like it's anything, like, life-threatening. Even before he was healed, there wasn't really any outside wounds that looked to be... like fatal causing stuff.
And you said Jorik strapped him down?
Calm it down there, whew. Jans McGee.
Oh, man.
Jorik and I did, because you're too weak to do anything. That's your fucking little...
Well, I was going to say, perhaps since he's strapped in, maybe we go take a little rest.
Well, you can kind of chill in the room and take a short rest.
Yeah.
Because it'll... you don't have to, like, sleep or anything like that. Short rest is just kind of you taking a breather.
Oh, okay. So, well, that works then. Propped up in a chair.
Yeah. So, you can roll... Is it half your hit die on a short rest? I think it's half your hit die on a... you can do up to...
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, let's say that. I think that's the rule. So,
do I roll it then, or?
Yeah. You roll one of your hit die, and you add your Constitution modifier, and you heal for that much. So right now you guys are level 2, so you can roll 1.
Yeah. Ha! Fucking A. That's awesome. I got max.
Plus yeah. My con. You said.
Yep.
Okay. Well, yes. I've also got max then.
Yeah, look at that.
So 11.
All right. So you take a hot hour and rest your weary bones for a moment and get some hit points back.
All right.
And I would say about that time you see the priest starts kind of shimmying too.
Make sure I keep scratching my new puppy.
Hey, he's kind of just down on his haunches, like he's looking at the remnants of the bone that he was carrying, that he's getting down to the nub. And Jorik is looking over at him very nervously.
Just to, because I wanted to read, I was reading, but just to stay kosher with everybody, 30 minutes of that hour that we were down, since we took an hour, I was meditating so I could regain my key points. Because during a short or long rest, as long as 30 minutes of it are meditation, you regain all all expended key points. Excuse me.
Okay.
Don't know where that came from. Good lord. Okay. So,
I actually did not know that about monks. I thought that it was long rest that you got your key points back. So that's better.
Yeah, I just read it. It says when you spend a key point, it's unavailable until you finish a short or long rest, at the end of which you draw all of your expended key back into yourself. You must spend at least 30 minutes of the rest meditating to regain your key points.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I haven't played a monk since like third edition. So
I've never played a monk.
It's been a while.
I've liked it thus far, and I'm in the little baby stages, so this is fun.
Okay. At the end of that hour, the priest kind of starts to shimmy, and his eyes open, and he kind of pulls at the restraints.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Word, what's going on? Why am I strapped to this table? What? I don't know you. Jorik, what is going on?
Guys, you wanna field this one?
Oh, most
definitely. You know more
definitely.
About it than I do.
Most definitely. Excuse me, but you're right, you don't know us, but we know you somewhat well at this point. What is the last thing you remember, sir?
I was doing the monthly sacrifice to Lathander. I was... what did we sacrifice? There was a piece of iron forged into the shape of the Morning Lord's symbol that we placed upon the altar, and then there was a noise, something, and that's all. Have I been here this whole time?
Yes. Well, not here. There's actually...
Have I come down with a sickness of some sort? I did not feel feverish at the time. I've
got to get
always
down.
In good health.
Come on, get down with the sickness.
Sorry.
That's another parody one. Get ready for that shit.
Oh, Lord. Don't fucking put that on me.
Too late. It's there. Yeah.
Pulling it back down to earth.
Back down to Riven, thank you.
I mean, yeah, okay. You were within the walls of Iron's Edge. You weren't in this infirmary. But
I am very confused. I should probably not interrupt you so that you might actually tell me what's going on.
That's fine. You're quite out of sorts. I can understand. You see, your that noise, I can only presume there was a cultist, I suppose. We've dealt with one in the mines. That's not for now. There was a cultist who took over your sanctuary with the help of some kobolds who were... That also is not important. They trapped you in a underground room. Like an alchemist's lab of sorts. They strapped you to a chair and had...
There's no room underneath it. Wait, what?
Yes, there is. If we can prove that you're safe, I would be more than happy to show you.
But I don't understand. Why would I ever need to prove that I am safe?
This next bit is going to be news to Jorik as well, but you did just escape into the mines and attempt to release a dragon.
What?
Yes,
surprise!
He puked it up. It was quite disgusting.
I get to give all the news. And this,
dragons?
Yes?
Dragons don't get puked up. They lay eggs.
Oh, this one was definitely puked up in a sack.
I would have loved to have brought you the body as proof, because I know how crazy this tale may seem. And this next part, Trevor, is going to be news to you. But this is what happened to the dragon after I killed it, and I'm going to dump all the dragon rock out of my backpack. It cracked and crumbled into this.
Oh, that's interesting.
So this here priest hacked up a dragon.
Yep.
And then you killed it, and it turned into rock.
Correct.
I hope you realize there's a lot of forks in this trail.
Not everyone's going to make it back to camp, and that's okay.
Okay. Just making sure. Them paths are winding. But there hasn't been a dragon in centuries. Yeah. Not even whispers of one. That they're gone.
You don't think we would lie to you about this, do you?
I'm just expressing my shock. Why? I not presume that you're lying. I'm just expressing my shock.
Okay. Well, after...
Dick. Dick.
I'm on Jorik's side.
Ah! Dick.
After we got rid of the cultists in the church, Jorik, yesterday, in case anyone forgot, that all happened yesterday. After we got rid of the cultists in the church and went down and found the priest in the secret basement, he was spouting nonsense about Syraxis returning and we're all food for the dragon. And Puffles looked him over and was concerned that there might be some piece of the cultists still brainwashed into his mind, or an actual piece had been arcanely injected into his mind. I'm not entirely sure on the Puffles doesn't roll good medicine or magic arcana checks, so it's very confusing sometimes, his vagueness. But the fact of the matter is that whoever this cultist was and whoever they are and working for, apparently they think either there are dragons coming back or they can bring them back. And the recent discovering of all the things that are being done with this dragon rock and presumably ley line magic, I think they could do it.
That's the bad thing right there. Like, that's pretty much as bad as it gets.
I agree. But I mean, if the ley line magics could crack a continent apart, I have no doubts they could bring, whether it's made of rock or not, a very problematic... I mean, Trevor had quite the time with this tiny dragon in your mine. Whoever Elian was supplying dragon rock to, if they're a part of this, there's a very real chance that we might be too late as it is for whatever they are planning. Iron's Edge could have been a test, and the test worked.
Oh shit. That's like diabolical shit right there.
Terrifying. Especially considering the dragon rock being sent to tired brain not working.
Aetherport.
Aetherport.
That is terrifying. It has some very bad implications for the central government. The only thing that I could say is, I mean, we sold it to them, but I mean, why do that if they're the central government's the one that it's always helped keep peace between the continents, the subcontinents. I don't understand why they would be trying to bring a dragon back. That would pretty much ruin their whole gig.
Well, perhaps they're not the ones doing it. Maybe they are just using it to for the transportation. But who's to say there isn't someone?
Or, I mean, do you know 100% that you were dealing with the central government, or do you just believe you were dealing with the central government?
That was not my game. I'm just the captain of the guard. I was in on that stuff was happening with the Dragon Rock, but that was all. Like, anything beyond that's on Elian.
So there's also the option that Elian, shockingly enough, wasn't completely upfront with you either.
Well, I'll just go ahead and say yeah to that one.
If it is the government, there is always the option that, as you said, they are the ones who've kept the peace, and if someone is disturbing that peace, the rise of a dragon, and if the government had control over it somehow and was able to dispatch that, it would reinstill faith, keep people in their places where they should be, keep mouths shut, all sorts of things. Governments are shady.
It says the guy who lived in a monastery. What kind of anarchist shit are they teaching you there?
I must be honest, I did not do a very good job of paying attention while I was there. I'm very much head in the clouds, and not because I have these wings.
I was drinking when he said that.
I'm sorry, Jorik. Is Is my bad tutelage hard to swallow for you?
God damn it. Okay. Well, I... Ooh, man, my voice got deeper there. Well, I... Okay, so we're talking some real big picture shit here. And I think that we have a few more small picture things that we've got to clear up first before we can start talking about any of the rest of this. I think first things first is we need to figure out and make sure that our priest here is completely clean.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. I wanted everyone to be on the same page with what this information could point to with all of the things that have come to light over the last few days.
So why don't we get Puffles up in this bitch? Since he's he's probably the most well versed in magic aside from Elian that's in town.
Well, and he did deal with the priest relatively extensively prior, so
no.
He might okay. sense the most change.
Okay, so I'll get a message sent over to him, have him come over here, and then once we know that he's clean, then we can get Shadow taken care of, because Elian's not going to talk until he's kind of broke.
Yes, we need to take everything before he'll give anything.
Exactly. You phrased it much better than the voice in this guy ever could have. I feel like there's other loose ends, but it's just that you're dropping bombs on me here, guys.
There is Ansigar that will still need to be dealt with in some form.
Ah, Jesus, that guy. Well, crap. And my concerns still lie within that mine, because we don't know what else is in there. And
oh, there's still plenty more kobolds in there.
Yeah. Well, let's take the steps that we can. So I'll go ahead and get a message written, and we'll go from there. Well, I don't think I need to write a message to Puffles. He's probably like 40 feet that way. So why don't I go ahead and I'll just go and get him. I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. So he leaves. And it's just you two and the priest.
Wonderful.
And the gnoll.
So I'm gonna turn to the priest because I realize it was mainly a Jorik and Harkos conversation. You've been rather quiet. Any questions?
Yes, many. But I'm very confused. I don't understand how I could have been taken. There was someone who was acting as the me?
He wore your face, yes.
It was...
That is most upsetting.
It was quite disturbing.
The priest slipper falls up. Oh, I dropped my slipper.
I want to cast Identify on him as a ritual.
Okay. So that takes you 10 minutes to do. Can you read Identify for me?
Identify says you... stick with me to the end here. You choose one object that you must touch throughout the casting of the spell. If it is a magic item or some other magic imbued object, you learn its properties and how to use them, whether it requires attunement to use, and how many charges it has, if any. You learn whether any spells are affecting the item and what they are. If the item was created by a spell, you learn which spell created it. If you instead touch a creature throughout the casting, you learn what spells, if any, are currently affecting it.
Okay, so... You cast this ritual on him, and you get, I'm going to say Jorik and Puffles actually come in partway through, and then they realize that you're kind of in the middle of something, so they don't disturb you.
Okay.
So they watch on as you're doing this.
If I get to flavor this at all, since, you know, Trevor hasn't done this before, I would say, like, any etchings or symbols that have popped into my head with the flame being would get scrawled on the floor, like, around the bed or some things, you know?
Yeah.
Cast it, yeah. And they all ignite, and...
Oh, that's a new floor! Oh, no!
you place your hand on him, and then there's a flash, and these runes get inscribed in the floor around you and him in the bed. And over the time of the casting, why don't you roll Arcana for me?
22.
Okay. There are no spells currently affecting him. That's per the language of the spell. There is nothing currently affecting
him. Okay.
But there are traces of spells that were being used.
Okay.
The only thing that you can get from them is that you get senses of necromantic and conjuration.
Okay.
But you can't get any more specific than that.
Okay. Well, when we come out of it, I'm going to look at Puffles and say, from what I can tell, he is not currently affected by any magic, but he was affected by a few types of magic previously.
Well, I guess you didn't even need me, did you?
You may be able to find out more than me. I do not know. This is still new to me.
Well, let me see what I can find. And he goes up and he does a very similar thing to you. He does the same thing. Like he does the same thing that he normally does. That he pulls out his book and places it on the table and starts flipping through until he finds what he's looking for, and that he does his own thing, and he, at the end of it, he looks up at you and, well, everything that I caught off of this man before is now gone. That whatever happened seemed to have purged him of anything that was affecting him.
This is highly good news, then.
I would agree, yes.
I would like that we keep eyes on him for a little while until we can be 100% sure just that there's nothing we're missing. I mean, no one even realized he was gone for who knows how long, so... If they can hide people that well, who's to say what? No offense, Puffles. Some offense, Trevor. I didn't say the Trevor part. That was a Nickism. Who's to say there's not something that's out of our wheelhouse, so to speak?
I can understand your concern, definitely. There are many things happening here that, especially with anything to do with that mine, there's too much that we don't know. So I would agree that best course of action is to make sure that I apologize, Mr. Priest, that... he is kept under watch. And Jorik will pipe up and...
Oh, I I'm sure that you're not going to like that, but I agree. For the safety of the town and its people, we need to make sure that we're not just allowing a threat to walk free. But anything else from the peanut gallery?
I don't believe so.
Well, I think that the best place to do that would probably be here, unless you have any other suggestions. You could take it back into the mine. Haha.
I think I've seen enough of that place for right now.
Well, at least for another 8 hours.
What a good idea, Trevor. You should keep watch over the priest. That's such a noble suggestion for you to make.
All right. Well, why don't we step out here for a minute, and we can let this poor man rest, because he obviously needs it. I'll make sure that I've got my best men on watch, so that we can make sure that he's okay and that he recovers well. So let's let him get his rest.
But I do appreciate that. I am quite
and he's out.
Someone wake him up. He was saying something.
Puffles goes over and slaps him. Oh no! I had my claws. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, if he wasn't dead before, he's dead now. Problem solved. Oh, the annulment. Hey, so, problem unsolved.
Jorik and Puffles will walk out.
Yeah. We can follow him.
Leave as well.
Puppy dog in tow.
No, the gnoll stays there, growling.
Okay, so... Jorik will actually, he'll lead you over to the safe, where the funds are kept.
Well, it actually looks like, you know, that there's some payment that needs to be doled out to the two of you. Have either of you kept track of your individual, kill numbers on the monsters?
Not even...
No, definitely had other things in mind. Well, I apologize.
There were far too many. Hundreds. Oh, I'm joking. I didn't really say that. Trevor would not have said that.
Oh, yes. Must have been millions. I could have sworn. I mean, Ansigar barely made it out with his life. Oh, wait. That was our fault.
All right. So he's gonna dole out some payment here. And I'm going to roll for it to see how generous he feels right now.
I definitely was keeping track in the first encounter, and then shit just kept escalating, and I stopped.
Okay, so...
That's only because I want to be better than Trevor.
He gives you both 150.
Damn!
And he will say, this
should cover the kobolds and assorted other stuff. And
he'll give each of you another 80 for the big guys that you've taken.
Damn.
Jeez.
And I think that should cover it. I don't know if there is any supplies that you need, but there is a general store here in town that, we don't have much, but, you know, the travelers that have come through, they've brought some stuff, and, you know, we have, our own, you know, you met him, the blacksmith?
Yes.
He makes some stuff that the finer pieces that he'll sell, through the general store, so... Yeah, there's some stuff there you can maybe check out if you're feeling like that gold's burning a hole in your pocket, but Otherwise, I think we just kind of need to wait it out and make sure that this guy's good.
Yes, I agree.
I also agree.
Okay, well, there's one other thing that I wanted to do for you guys, and is your... Things have gotten pretty crazy since you've been here, and on behalf of the people of Iron's Edge...
He reaches into the safe and he grabs two pins out that are inlaid with silver and iron that are... it's the hammer... There's a symbol with a hammer, like a blacksmith hammer, and then a two pickaxes that are crossed on either side of it, and that's encircled in a ring of gold.
Oh.
And he hands them to each of you. And
this is the highest commendation that I can give to anybody, really, because yeah, I don't have a ton of power. I'm just a captain of the guard, but these are marks of great station, that you've done great deeds for the city of Iron's Edge, and I know that things have been tough, and you guys have been handling it like real heroes, and the city just can't thank you enough.
Harkos is definitely, like, doing everything he can not to cry. Like, Jorik just fucking sat there. He's like, "You guys have been real heroes." And Harkos left home with the only wish of being something more than himself. And this is the first time anyone's, like, said... Like, people have said nice things, like, "Hey, thanks for saving the town from monsters," or whatever. But, like, this really hit home, and so Harkos is like, "Yeah, uh-huh, mm-hmm, okay." It's very, very sad.
So, with these commendations, why don't we have you guys go ahead and level up to 3?
Yay!
And I think that is where we will call it for tonight.
Now, before we go into ending stuffs, I want to make one little comment, because I said I would. So, since we're going up to level 3, I am going to get my monastic tradition with Harkos being a monk and everything. So I'm going to get a couple more bells and whistles coming out of Harkos, which will be pretty cool. I had some ideas. I had never done a monk, so I was looking at all the different traditions. Had some ideas for him. I had talked to Ken about it before we ever even started the podcast, because we were trying to iron out the characters. And he was like, "Well, you have time. Like, you don't have to finalize anything." But I was like, "Nope, this is the idea I want. I want to do this because of these reasons." And literally... like 2 or 3 days ago, I came to Ken and I was like, "So I want to do this instead. Is that cool, since I'm not level 3 yet?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's actually awesome." And like all the stuff behind it. So a huge shout out to Underground Oracle, which I am saying correctly. I'm not saying Unearthed because I'm not stupid. Huge shout out to both Keith and Jess over at Underground Oracle. They have awesome stuff. I was digging through some of their things, and I saw there's this monastic tradition called, like, Way of the Torn Thread, and I really liked all the verbiage behind it, and after, like, living as Harkos in this campaign, I like the way it's gonna go. So I actually picked up all of their stuff, their little their Underground Oracle Quarterly number 1. I picked up the whole thing, but I am going to be using their stuff in our campaign. They're big helpers out over on Twitter. They retweet us. They talk to us all the time. Brad talks to them a bunch. And I'm really excited to be able to have this, like, handshake between us two, and I'm excited to use their stuff in game, and I'm just really pumped. So Keith and Jess, you guys do great stuff. We're very excited to see what else you do. I'm very excited to use your things, and yeah, we'll delve more into that next episode when all the leveling is done. We'll give you some information on some of the stuff, I'm sure, but I just wanted to get that out there because it is awesome to have this interaction with the community and to be able to use their things in our game. It's so great.
I think that the interdisciplinary cooperation has been fantastic so far. And getting to use, you know, 'cause I'm all game for homebrew stuff and, you know, things that people develop, as long as it's, you know, it's pretty in line with what you could expect out of any other subclass or whatever. But it's always fun, especially when you find something that's, you know, almost like fate found it for you.
Yeah.
You
know?
Especially with, you know, the development that you guys have gotten with your characters and Harko's kind of going a different direction. So I like the old idea that you had, but I think that this one is, very much in line with the direction that you're making Harko's. So, I think that we're going to do just a quick level up thing at the beginning of the next session, just to kind of go over what our unlikely heroes are able to do now, and then we'll get into the episode. So I think that'd be just a quick thing that'll be fun. But anyway, so thank you all very much for joining us at our table. If you could please make us your good boy warlocks by being our patrons on Patreon. Thank you for the cough, Brad.
I was going to cut it, but it's in there now.
We have multiple tiers that there's different things that you can get depending on what you do. We have some really interesting stuff that we're going to be developing and kind of going forward as we refine what we're doing with our Patreon. So, Brad, where can our everybody get a hold of us?
Everybody, all right. You can subscribe to us on our website at rickgeekpodcast.com to keep up with all things Rolling in the Geek, or on any of your favorite ear bacon stations. Also, we're very active on Twitter. If you want to talk to three guys who have faces made for podcasting, feel free to tag us at Roll in the Geek. That's RollinTheGeek.
Thank you very much, Brad. Nick, this week, I think in honor of the events of this session, you are the Dragon Line Sorcerer.
Bum, bum, of bum!
Your hardened scales block out the frustrations of poor sound quality, and your magics can even block out a train. So can you please fire off your breath weapon and give us something fun to go out
on? Hang on, let me... No, it didn't recharge, sorry. That's what we call this one, I guess. Okay.
Game over. We're done.
There's nothing the this week, episode. Sorry. Ken turned it into a breath weapon, which means I had to depend on... I rolled the wrong die anyway. I rolled a 20 instead of a D6. Oh, Jesus.
It's just a die. Don't control you. It does. It totally controls
you. It most
you.
Definitely does. I don't think you understand how this game works at all. Okay. So, we had the Hootie Who from 17. We're not going to rhyme. As you're well aware, I really hate all of these teens, and I'm going to continue into episode 18 next week. I hope it gets easier in the 20s. I haven't even thought about it. It probably won't. Ken picked this week's song for me. He gave me an artist, which is also usable. As I've stated in the past few episodes this year, because I've been slacking on mentioning it to you, any of the audience members, our lovely listeners, if you want me to attempt to rework something, let us know on the Twitters if you want to, or wherever you can. If you want to leave a comment on some part of the podcast, I mean, we'll get emails wherever you leave it. So just let us know. Brad keeps up on Twitter and let me know a song you want me to try or whatever it is. You want to throw down a gauntlet, be like, you could never do this. And maybe you're right, but I'm going to do my darndest to prove you wrong. But I will own up if you are right and admit defeat very, very sadly and sing a sad song that I pick.
And we will definitely tag you when the episode is posted. And we'll let you know that we used your song.
So Ken told me he wanted me to take a journey this week. So that's what I went. Because if I make it a sentence, it doesn't have to worry about copyright. I don't know how bad copyright is. We make a big deal. It's probably best that way. It's best to be scared of things that you don't understand.
And it's a fun joke.
It is a fun joke. It's an expensive joke, but it's a fun joke. So without further ado, I will close this out with this little ditty. This is actually an honor, a little bit in honor of our Patreon going on, and also could be likened to the musics. So any way you want it, that's the way you make it. Any way you want it. You want us to dance. You want us to sing? Well, just tell us to do that thing. We could move or even groove. We'll do lots of things. On Friday night. Friday nights. Oh, yeah, that's the night. And we'll try. Yeah, we'll try to do it. All right, we said any way you want it, that's the way you make it, any way you want it. Wanna make us live it, Patreon can give it, you can make us do it. It's not the strongest one, but it has a good message.
I liked all of it, and especially the do-do-do-do-do-do.
You can't do any way you want it without the guitar interjections.
You're absolutely right. You can't, and I loved it.
Doesn't feel right.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Always find a way, no matter what.
Yes, thank you. It is I, awesome, super talented man. This is what I do. Okay, now give them the monologue. For whenever there is trouble within this here town city, I will be there to call on the powers of Rolling in the Geek to best the bad guy. I will always be there to help you, whether you're in a dark alley or a well-lit room in front of a TV camera. I will be there, always there to help for justice and fame and fortune, but mostly justice, a little bit of fame. I am always there to help you, the people. It is what I want and what I need.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.